Cause we've already started to sing. We are going to a place where music falls and fills up everything. Though it might be a long time, I know it's gonna be alright. Cause we've already started to sing. We have already started to sing. Yes, we've already started to sing.
Good morning. I invite you all to turn to those around you and say hello and good morning.
Good morning. So good to be here visiting you all to sing and worship with you and make some rhythm and music together. My name is Matt Meyer and I'm visiting from Boston, although I grew up in Oak Park. So it's nice to be back in the Midwest. And as a youth, this was one of the first, if not the first church I ever visited for a youth conference, which set me on this heretical path of Unitarian Universalism in a very real way. So it's so good to be back here with you. Our opening hymn is number 188 in your gray hymnals, Come, Come, Whoever You Are. May rise in body or spirit.
Come, come, whoever you are, wander, worshiper, lover of leaving. Ours is no care of and of despair. Come yet again, come.
One more time.
Come, come, whoever you are, wander, worshiper, lover of leaving. Ours is no care of and of despair. Come yet again, come.
These words were written by Sufi mystic Jalaluddin Rumi. When Rumi was just a small boy, he had to flee his homeland with his family because of political unrest, because of impending violence. He traveled to what at the time was the other ends of the earth, where he grew up and to become a great religious leader to people of many traditions. So as we sing this song of welcome, these words of welcome, let's welcome each other into this space, and let's remember that these words were written by a political refugee and by an undocumented immigrant, and let's think of those who we might also welcome into this space, those out in the world looking for communities of love and justice, just like this. We'll try it with a slightly different rhythm. I'll try it through once on my own, and then we'll try it together.
Come, come, whoever you are, wander, worshiper, lover of leaving. Ours is no care of and of despair. Come yet again, come.
Let's try that. Here we go.
Come, come, whoever you are, wander, worshiper, lover of leaving. Ours is no care of and of despair. Come yet again, come
with conviction.
Come, come, whoever you are, wander, worshiper, lover of leaving, ours is no care of and of despair. Come yet again, come, it sounds good, a little louder. Come, come, whoever you are, wander, worshiper, lover of leaving, ours is no care of and of despair. Come yet again, come. Come, come, whoever you are, wander, worshiper, lover of leaving, ours is no care of despair. Come yet again, come, come yet again. Come yet again, come, come yet again. Come yet again, come, come yet again. Come yet again, come. Take a deep breath. You may be seated as you exhale.
We are so glad you are all here for worship. If today is your first day with us, we're especially happy to have you here. If you didn't check in on your way in, please do so on your way out so we can be in touch. Do stick around after church for coffee, cookies and community. I think there's cake today too. We are so glad that each and every one of you is here today. The flaming chalice is the symbol of our faith, a beacon of truth, a fire for justice, a warmth for the soul. James is going to light our chalice this morning. James is 10 years old. He loves digging up fossils and researching rocks online. As the chalice is lit, let us speak together the covenant of our church. Love is the spirit of this church, and reason is its guide, to dwell together in peace, to seek truth and freedom, and to serve human need. This is our covenant. Now let's sing together our chalice response song.
In the Christian tradition, the sharing of the good news of the gospel is marked with a very special word, Alleluia. And I believe that when we gather in our own Unitarian Universalist tradition, we also have some good news to share with each other. Is that true? I think so. So we're going to begin with a song and invoke the spirit of worship with a song of Alleluia this morning. Your part goes like this.
Alleluia, Alleluia.
Give that a try.
Alleluia, Alleluia. And then Alleluia, Alleluia.
Try that.
Alleluia, Alleluia.
Beautiful. I'll sing the whole thing through once on my own, and then we'll try it together.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
All together, here we go.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
One more time, like you mean it. Here we go.
Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia.
Beautiful. Some of us arrive here at the end of our week, looking back to find that we've just been going through the motions. Now is our time to finally be present with ourselves and our intentions for who we want to be. Some of us arrive here thinking of a past week full of celebration and joy and blessing. We've moved forward on our unique path. We arrive here with a greater sense of wholeness than even a week ago. Let us gather in the spirit of gratitude. Some of us arrive here this morning thinking of loved ones that can't be with us. Perhaps we're struggling with illness or with loss. Let's gather for a time to breathe deeply and find a stillness that may have eluded us all week long.
Come on, come in, enter in peace. Come on, come in, enter in grace.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Again.
Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
Since we last gathered, some of us may have hurt our loved ones and we were unable to find the words for apologies. So we come this morning seeking a spirit of humbleness and perhaps even of confession. Since we last gathered, some of us have questioned our faith, whether in God or in each other or in ourselves. We gather this morning seeking a renewal of trust and of conviction. Let's gather in the hopes that a gentle word or a beckoning melody might lessen any burdens we've carried for too long. Let's gather in the hopes of finding new ways around old blockades. Let's gather together to worship in love and in service.
Spirit of the rocks and the wind, Spirit of the earth, gentle me, Holy One, into your heart.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Please rise and embody your spirit.
Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
A little bit louder. Here we go.
Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
One more time.
Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
You may be seated. For this time for all ages, I want to tell you all a story about Brazilian music, because Brazilian music is some of my favorite music in the entire world. And part of why I love it so much is that there are so many different groups of people in Brazil, all living together, all with their different unique ideas about music, that over the years have learned to share those ideas together, so that today Brazilian music sounds unlike any other music in any other part of the world. So I'm going to tell you the story of just two of those groups. So everyone on this side, you're going to be the Portuguese from Europe. Can you say that?
Portuguese from Europe.
Perfect. And you all on this side, you're going to be the Yoruba from Africa. Now these two groups of people have lived together in Brazil for a very long time. But when they first arrived in Brazil, they listened to and they played totally different kinds of music. The Portuguese were from Europe, and so, of course, they liked European music. And in Europe, people were, and still are, most interested in the part of music that's all about how the notes sound when you play them in groups together, or one right after another. How the different notes sound together is called harmony. And in Europe, they were so interested in harmony that they named every note so that when you were teaching music to a student, you could know what the purpose of every note was just by its name. So I'm going to teach you all a song that sounds maybe a little bit like what the Portuguese might have first sung when they first came to Brazil. Your part starts out like this.
Do, sol, fa, mi.
Try that.
Do, sol, fa, mi. And then do, sol, fa, mi re. Do, sol, fa, mi, re. And then do, sol, fa, mi, re, sol, do. Do, sol, fa, mi, re, sol, do. One more time. Do, sol, fa, mi, re, sol, do.
Perfect. Like a lot of European music, I wrote that song so it starts out on the one, it goes up to the dominant five, it finishes the major triad, and the third has a subdominant four before a cadence of 2-5-1, which is fairly standard. Am I right, Tim? Maybe we'll cover that in a different service, though. The Yoruba listened to very different kinds of music when they came to Brazil. The Yoruba were from West Africa, and in West Africa, they were much more interested in the part of music that was all about when you play the notes. How are the notes grouped together or spaced out? When you play the notes is, of course, called rhythm. Your part goes like this. Da-dum, da-dum, dum-dum-dum. Da-dum, da-dum, dum-dum-dum. Da-dum, da-dum, dum-dum-dum. Da-dum, da-dum, dum-dum-dum. Perfect. But in West Africa, they were also interested not just in how music sounded in their ears or how they thought about it in their heads, but how music felt in their bodies and how music was a way to bring people to be together, physically be together, to take care of each other and celebrate or mourn when they needed to. So we're going to add our bodies. We're going to go like this. Da-dum, da-dum. Doom, doom, doom. Da-dum, da-dum. Doom, doom, doom. Da-dum, da-dum. One more. Da-dum, da-dum. Doom. Perfect, you've got it. So we have these two groups of people living together in Brazil, each with their own unique style of music, and that would have been fine, except that there was a problem. The problem was that the Portuguese, who had all of the land and all of the money and, well, all of the power, they didn't really think the Yoruba song was any good. And in fact, they didn't think anything the Yoruba ever did was any good. And because they had the land and money and power, sometimes they would say, Yoruba, you can't play your music. Can you all say that to them? But the Yoruba knew how important music was to how they told stories to their children and celebrated holidays and kept their spirits up. So they said, we're going to play our music anyway. Can you say that to them? This side was much more convincing than this side. It just so happened that all the actors sat on this side this morning. Over the years, the Portuguese tried to get them to stop playing. They would take their drums away. They would yell at them, throw them in jail for making music. They were mean to them. But in spite of all of those things, the Yoruba kept on playing. And they were so persistent for so long that eventually some things began to change. Eventually, there were Portuguese that began to listen to the Yoruba song a little more carefully. Are there any Portuguese here that think the Yoruba song is a pretty good song? Some of you? Oh yeah, a whole bunch, great. And at the same time, there were Yoruba listening to that Portuguese music. Any of you here think the Portuguese song is pretty good? Not as many, that's fair. That's fair, that's how it happened. Over the years, there were a few people in each group that even though no one around them wanted them to listen to those that were different from them or work with those that were different from them, a few people went against the grain. And some of these radicals happened to be musicians. And they thought maybe we can learn something from people that are different from us. There were some Portuguese that said, hey, maybe we can learn something from the Yoruba. Can you say that to them? And there were some Portuguese that said, maybe we can learn. There were some Yoruba that said, maybe we can learn something from the Portuguese. Can you say that to them? less convincing, but that's okay. I know, it's okay. We'll let it slide. Some of these musicians got together and they said, well, what would happen if? What if we took your instruments but played them in new ways? What if we took some of your sounds and our sounds? What if we took your harmony and our rhythm? What would that sound like if we put it all together? Portuguese, do you still remember your song?
No.
That's okay, it was like 300 years ago in the story, so it's all right if you forgot. Your song goes like this. Do, sol, fa, mi, re, sol, do. Here we go. Do, sol, fa, mi, re, sol, do. Keep going. Da-dum, da-dum, dum-dum-dum. Da-dum, da-dum, dum-dum-dum. Dum-dum-dum. Do, sol, fa, mi, re, sol, do. A little louder. Do, sol, fa, mi, re, sol. One more time. Do, sol, fa, mi, re, sol, do. Beautiful. That's how the Portuguese and Yoruba came together to create a new style of music called samba that was unlike anyone in the world had ever heard before. That's why I love Brazilian music so much. It's also a little bit of what our service is about today. That we know when we gather in communities like this, and then when we reach out beyond the borders and the barriers that divide us and we come together in larger circles of community, we know that together we can change the world around us in ways that we could never do just on our own. So thank you for helping with the story, and we're going to sing you off to your classes.
Lots coming up in the church this week. I want to highlight the annual meeting right after this worship service. I also want to highlight some church joys and concerns this morning. We celebrate with the Vollmer family that the judge confirmed what we had confidence in, that Carly was innocent, and I was just handed that. We now take up an offering to support the work of justice and mercy in the world. 80% of what is collected today will go to the Lucy Stone Cooperative. There's more information in your bulletin. Thank you for your generosity. The offering will now be given and received.
To give and thirst to receive in all of us.
It's easy to find the joy in the ups, but finding the joy in the downs can be difficult. If you have ever tried to cheer someone up by telling them their current hardship was a blessing in disguise, or encourage them to find the silver lining while down on their luck, you may have been given an incredulous look, suggesting your comment was insensitive, unsympathetic, and off base. I have found that people tend to want to come to terms with bad luck or bad events on their own, and retrospect can be very powerful. Our memories allow us to reconstruct what was once something bad into something good, hopefully into a learning experience or a life-shaping moment, and this can create a sense of peace towards what was once a source of anxiety. If you're lucky, you can even find some joy or humor in the event that once caused frustration or sadness. Excuse me. I tried to think of some good stories to tell you this morning, of examples of times I thought something was bad in the moment, but looking back seems to be okay. It turns out when looking back, I couldn't think of anything that was really that bad that happened. Not saying that nothing bad has ever happened to me, but I have likely already made new meaning out of these experiences. I had a bad breakup once, the kind of breakup where I didn't want to get out of bed, I listened to lots of sad songs, acted poorly, and thought life was over. But looking back, it just wasn't the person for me. Moving on from that allowed me to be with the person I'm supposed to be with. It also made me a better partner to be with because I learned what kind of behavior will get you dumped. And looking back, I do laugh about the whole thing because how silly to think my life was ending at age 19 because my boyfriend broke up with me. I got beat up once at a party by a girl. That's a story for a different day. But looking back on what was a frightening and chaotic situation, it also becomes somewhat funny because, as you can likely imagine, I'm not a violent person. I have no business fighting anyone about anything. And the image I have in my mind of my best friend at the time jumping into the situation and using her shoe as defense is just priceless. And from that, I learned to leave boys full of drama alone, not to go places where I shouldn't be anyway, and that it's true. Nothing good happens after midnight. And of course, there are memories and experiences I'm still working on, hurtful things people have said to me, or childhood experiences and memories that I still struggle to find some positive in. It depends on the day, really. But I can say that those experiences have shaped who I am, and I think mostly for the good. So cheers to the ups and downs, the smiles and frowns, because the sweet ain't as sweet without the sour.
Our reading will begin with a song. I'll sing it once through and then we'll try it together.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing on.
Let's sing once through together.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing on.
Jacob was one of the grand patriarchs of the Hebrew Bible. He inherited the family lineage passed down from Abraham. But Jacob's life was not without complication. The story says that he wrestled with his twin brother while still in the womb. Later in life, as his father lay dying in bed, Jacob disguised himself as his older brother and lied to his father about his identity in order to steal the brother's blessing, the most sacred of his family's inheritance. While traveling away from this turmoil that he had caused, Jacob laid down to spend the night sleeping by the side of the road with a rock for a pillow. In the night, he dreamed of a ladder that extended up to heaven, with angels traveling up and down the ladder.
Our Universalist ancestors departed from their mainstream Christianity to proclaim the heretical belief that no one, not a single one of us, was damned in the afterlife. They believed that humanity was made in the image of God, and that every single person had within them a spark of the divine so sacred that we would eventually reside together in paradise. Even someone like Jacob, they believed, who sowed conflict wherever he went, could have a vision of a pathway to heaven. Today, as Unitarian Universalists, we continue to proclaim that every person has inherent worth and dignity, everyone is holy, and everyone is a part of the interdependent web that connects us to the whole of creation. For all the times we've seen a light at the end of the tunnel, for all the times we've held on to hope for the future, even when it seemed beyond reason, let's sing together, "Every Rung Goes Higher, Higher."
Every rung goes higher, higher. Every rung goes higher, higher. Every rung goes higher, higher. We are climbing on.
The ladder that Jacob dreamed of was a vision of pathway between this world and a perfect divinity in the sky. The angels traveling on the ladder, however, were not only moving from earth to heaven, they also traveled from heaven to earth. Jacob dreamed not only that those of us living in the complexity of this earthly world could find a way to perfection in a faraway heaven, but that we could arrive at a place where the wonders of the divine could enter this world as well and reside with us.
A later Universalist understanding went further and said heaven wasn't just some place we may reside or end up in the life after this one, but it was a reality that we can create together here in this world. By acting on our values to balance out the inequities around us, we can transform the world around us on earth as it is in heaven. For all the times we've dreamed of a better world and worked to make it possible, let's sing together, "If I Stumble, Will You Catch Me?"
If I stumble, will you catch me? If I stumble, will you catch me? If I stumble, will you catch me? We are climbing on.
When Jacob awoke from his vision, he saw his surroundings with new eyes. What before had been a mundane road, he now recognized to be a place where the miraculous already embraced him. He called out loud, saying, "Surely the Lord was in this place and I did not know it." The experience of divine love was not only something to dream of in the night, but a reality that was already here surrounding him.
Today we have perhaps a new understanding of universalism. One that says we don't have to wait for another life after this one, and we don't even need to perfect this world. Love and grace are already here with us. Our joy and our sorrow are all a part of the complicated beauty that surrounds us. We can find joy in the work for justice even when the work leaves us exhausted, and we can find hope in the journey towards a better world even when the destination seems beyond anything we can see on the horizon. And the love that we share as we travel reminds us that we are standing on holy ground wherever we are. For all the times that we've been blessed by beauty and love, even in this broken world, for all the times we've been surprised by hope, for all the times we've seen the divine already in our midst, let's sing one more time through, "We Are Climbing."
We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing on.
their breath together. I invite you into a moment of centering and grounding. Breathe deeply and be present in this moment together. Breathe deeply and be present in this space, in this room, in your own body. These words from Ted Loader. Holy Spirit, I want to belong. Teach me to accept. I want to be close. Teach me to reach out. I want a place where I am welcome. Teach me to open my arms. Holy Spirit, Spirit of love, I want mercy. Teach me the way of forgiveness. Holy Spirit, I want peace. Show me the eye of the storm. When I want joy, show me the way of deeper commitment. Spirit of love, Spirit of life, Spirit of creation, when I want life, show me the mindfulness to be found in every moment. Let's join together in shared silence. Amen, and blessed be. Our next hymn is number 131 in your gray hymnals, Love Will Guide Us. Please rise in body or spirit. I live in the Lucy Stone Cooperative and was so grateful and surprised to see that you were contributing to the growth of our community this morning. We've just celebrated a few months ago our fifth anniversary of our move-in date, and Our community there is this experiment to live in a home together grounded in the values and tradition of Unitarian Universalism, to look at how our values affect the food we buy and how we share meals, how we relate to our neighbors and to the earth and to each other. Youth groups come from all over the country to visit us and tour our house and talk about what we're doing there. And we always ask them the same question. We say, how do you know that you're a Unitarian Universalist if you're not at church? What does that mean on a Tuesday morning or a Wednesday afternoon? And that's the question that we're trying to figure out together, of what our values tell us about how we share our lives together. One of the traditions that has become a part of our community is that we sing every Sunday evening together after dinner. We invite our wider community to join us, and we share a meal, and we sing for an hour. We always begin with "Love Will Guide Us." We always end with "Amazing Grace." In between, there are show tunes and sea shanties and a lot of Bob Dylan. But that singing, and particularly that first and last song, for me have really become a touchstone of my week, a moment to kind of find the renewal that I need. And "Amazing Grace" in particular, as our closing song, is a powerful moment. We sing all of the verses all the way through, which takes forever. But for the last verse in particular, we always sing by candlelight, and we take hands for the last verse. "Amazing grace has set me free, to touch, to taste, to feel the wonders of accepting love. Have made me whole and real." We take a deep breath together. When we finish, we make eye contact at each person around the table. And for me, something has shifted in that moment, and I feel a little more connected to the earth under my feet and the people next to me and my own body. I have a little more courage to open my inbox on Monday morning when the time comes. This tradition of singing together began before we ever had a house. We've been there 5 years, as I said, but it was also another 2 years of work to get this whole thing started. A group of us went through this whole process of fundraising and incorporating a nonprofit and visioning with our wider community and more fundraising and searching for real estate and signing a lot of paperwork and learning a lot about legal things. And did I mention there was fundraising involved? They don't just give houses away. It was this incredible process that we went through, and there were ups and downs. One of the hardest parts, though, came at the very end. We had found the perfect house, the 11-bedroom, beautiful single-family home. We made an offer that was accepted. We set a date to sign all the paperwork and be done with it and move in. And then the date got pushed back a little bit. And then it got pushed back a little more, and then a little more. And we came together for a meeting during this time and looked at this situation, and it seemed like, for reasons totally outside of our control, this whole thing might just not work out. Like, this 2 years of work might just slip through our fingers. And there wasn't anything to do except just wait and see what happened. And we couldn't see a way forward. So someone suggested that we finish our meeting by singing together. And we sang a song asking for guidance. "Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain." We took a deep breath together when we finished, made eye contact at each person around the circle. And for me, at least, something had shifted, and I recognized that this work we were trying to do of living our values in relationship and in community had begun whether we ever had a building or not. We eventually did move into that house a few months later, and that's where we've been now. And on August 1st, we'll be opening our second house, a 16-bedroom community where families will be raising their children together, grounded in the values and tradition of Unitarian Universalism. I think of these moments now as song at the sea moments. There's a part in the Exodus story in the Hebrew Bible where the Israelites are fleeing slavery in Egypt. They pass through the Red Sea, and when they arrive on the other side, they throw this giant party, better than any New Year's I've ever been to, I'm sure. And they celebrate, and what is so incredible about the song at the sea is that they're celebrating even though they have not yet arrived at the Promised Land. They're actually just beginning to enter the wilderness, but they celebrate anyway because they're making their way there, they are on the journey, and they are making that journey in covenant with each other and with their God. Now, in Unitarian Universalism, we don't always agree on whether there is a Promised Land in the afterlife or whether we can find one in this world, but we do recognize that the journey towards a better future is a sacred one that we make together. And while we have to go back pretty far in our history to arrive at the Exodus story of the Hebrew Bible, I think the song at the sea speaks to the heart of our covenantal faith. I think it's our song to sing as well. And we certainly know that this life can feel a lot like being lost in the wilderness. I know that in my own life, the food that I eat and buy doesn't always reflect the values I have about how I want to be in relationship with farm workers or with the earth or even with my own body. That's true for me. Is it true for some of you? The way that I'm in relationship with my neighbors or my coworkers or even those that are closest to me doesn't always reflect the values I have about compassion in relationships. That's true for me. Is it true for some of you? And particularly now in this era of Ferguson and this era of increasing wealth inequality, I recognize that there are systems of violence around us, not only individual greed and prejudice that are still with us, but systems of expanding inequality and segregation of violence against black and brown bodies, and I recognize that I'm a part of that system in ways I don't want to be, and I don't even know what to do about it. It leaves me angry and frustrated. That's true for me. Is it true for some of you? This can feel a lot like being in the wilderness. The world as it is not the world as I would like it to be, and I am not always the person I would like myself to be. But that space between where we are and what we've envisioned for the future, that space between the sea and the Promised Land, is the wilderness where we live our faith. It's the challenge and also the blessing of Unitarian Universalism, the challenge and the blessing of being in relationship and being in community and all of its complicated beauty together. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel speaks of this in his own tradition. He says, "Harsh and bitter are the problems that religion has come to solve. Anger, greed, malice, power, agony, and despair." He says these problems can't be solved with philosophical symbols or generalities. Our problem is, do we mean what we say and do we believe what we confess? And I think when he spoke those words over a half century ago, I don't think he could have even imagined the way that the values of power and agony and despair in particular would become such cornerstones of our economy today. Just about the time he was saying that, we know that fossil fuel companies were the first to discover that they were causing climate change, and instead of taking action to correct it, they funded bad science to sow doubt. We know that power, agony, and despair are part of the growing wealth divide, part of the school-to-prison pipeline for people of color, and we have our work cut out for us if we want to live our faith in this wilderness. But Unitarian Universalists gather together, and when we come together in communities just like this, we hear each other's stories, we learn more about the systems of injustice around us, and we recognize there is work to do, but also when we come together, we recognize that we are not alone in doing it. Would you say there is work to do, if that's been your experience? And would you say we're not alone? Yeah. That's the beauty of coming together in congregations like this, of reaching out beyond the borders and the barriers that divide us to expand the circles of love and justice that we find here. Reverend Dr. Mark Morrison Reed says, "It's the church that assures us that we're not struggling for justice on our own, but as part of a larger community. Alone," he says, "our vision is too narrow to see all that must be seen, and our strength is too limited to do all that must be done. But when we gather together in community, our vision widens and our strength is renewed." If that's been your experience, would you say our vision widens? And say our strength is renewed. When Unitarian Universalists say we're standing on the side of love, that's what it means. That means that we come together to enlarge our vision and to find more strength, the strength of gathering together in our community and going out into the world. When we gather not only to worship on Sunday mornings, but gather to live this faith in the streets and in the state houses and courthouses, we know that we can honor the values that we've articulated in our hearts and articulated in our principles, the values of interdependence. We recognize as we come together more and more the systems of injustice that surround us, and also we can create the alternatives. We can change those systems. We can bend the rules and change the rules of the game to sow love and justice. That's the journey of being in the wilderness, the journey between the sea and the promised land that we live. Gathering together as our vision widens and our strength is renewed. Would you say our vision widens? Would you say our strength is renewed? May it be so. Our closing song is number 95, There Is More Love Somewhere. We're going to sing all four verses through. There is more love, more hope, more peace, more joy somewhere. And then we're going to sing all four verses through again, singing There's More Love right here. I'm going to keep on because I found it. Please rise in body or spirit, hymn number 95. Sing out like you sing in the shower. Here we go.
There is more peace somewhere. There is more peace somewhere. I'm gonna keep on till I find it. There is more peace somewhere.
There's more joy with some more harmony.
There is more joy somewhere. There is more joy somewhere. I'm gonna keep on till I find it. There is more joy somewhere.
There's more love.
There is more love
right here,
right here. There is more love
right here,
right here. I'm gonna keep on,
'cause I found it,
'cause I found it. There is more love
right here,
right here.
There's more hope.
There is more hope
right here,
right here. There is more hope right here. I'm gonna keep on,
'cause I found it,
'cause I found it. There is more hope
right here,
right here.
There's more peace.
There is more peace
right here,
right here. There is more peace right here. I'm gonna keep on, 'cause I found it. There is more peace right here.
There's more joy.
There is more joy
right here,
right here.
May we go forward in purposeful rhythm, that we may give voice to the melody in our imaginations, the music in our souls, and all the possibilities of a just and peaceful world as we might together create it. Go in peace, go and be blessed as you are a blessing to others. And let's join together. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, let's share a moment of silence. In a world that is too cold, let us be a locus of warmth. In a world that is harsh, let us find and build the communities of beauty and justice. And in a world that is too violent, let us go as messengers and artists of peace. Please join together in singing.